Are they worthy? These words apply to those that we term ancient worthies. Some people call them heroes of faith, but we know who we mean, the ones of old, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc. These have an earthly hope. We're posing the question, are they worthy of a heavenly life? If we read chapter 11 of Hebrews, we surely get our answer. This passage leaves us in no doubt as to their worthiness. I've got it all printed here, but I'm not going to read it all for the sake of time, though. We could just read a little bit, and I'll leave it to you to read. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandments concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith, Joseph, when he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And you can read the rest of it for yourself, but I'll just put it there so as you don't have to look it up in the Bible. Now we will turn to Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it came to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house was established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. I turned over a couple of pages here. I think I've missed something away. The passage brings out the two phases of the kingdom. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The law originated from heavenly Jerusalem above, the spiritual phase of the kingdom, and is relayed to the world from Jerusalem, the earthly phase of the kingdom. The little bit I missed out, I should have read. The fact that they have an earthly hope has nothing to do with their worthiness or otherwise. It is simply because God has given them an important work to perform here on earth. They will be the link, the go-between, the heavenly and the earthly phases of the kingdom. And I'll go back to where we left off. The law originated from the heavenly Zion above, the spiritual phase of the kingdom, and is relayed out to the world from Jerusalem, the earthly phase of the kingdom. The ancient worthies will be the visible representatives of the kingdom. If any questions arise, that these will be the ones that people can turn to for answers. It is important that we realise that the role of the ancient worthies only lasts for 1,000 years. That is the time span that our Heavenly Father has set aside for the great restitution work, which will fulfil God's original purpose for planet Earth and its inhabitants. We see what this purpose was if we look at Genesis 1:26-28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth." The correct word there should be fill the earth. Replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. This passage links in with Hebrews 2:5-8. For unto the angels he has not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, "What is man, thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visited him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honour, and did set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." It says we see not yet all things put under him. By the end of the 1,000 years, this will have been accomplished. All the willing will be in the character likeness of the Creator and his blessed Son. All things will have been placed under his control. This planet, you could say, will be like a self-governing colony. When Satan entered the Garden of Eden and tempted our first parents, his desire would have been to thwart God's plan. We see that he most certainly did not achieve this. It will be fulfilled completely, exactly as God originally intended it, by the end of the kingdom age. With the added advantage that mankind will have had the experience of the disastrous results of evil and disobedience to their Creator's instructions. It is important that we recognise the role God has given to the ancient worthy class will last only for 1,000 years. After that time, all the willing of mankind will be perfect, as Father Adam was originally created. Therefore, there is no purpose for the ancient worthies to remain on the earth any longer. Now let us turn to Luke 16:16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of heaven is preached, and every man presses into it. It is very obvious that the King James rendering is incorrect, as are most other instructions. For example, the two following renderings, the BBE, "The law and the prophets were until John, but then the preaching of the kingdom of God, and everyone maketh his way into it by force." And then another translation, the AMTV one, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone enters forcibly unto it." Another rendering, the DRB rendering, has the right understanding. The violence has been shown towards the kingdom. Is that not exactly the reality of what actually happened? That translation reads, the law and the prophets were until John. From that time the kingdom of God is preached, and everyone uses violence towards it. This passage gives us the precise date for the end of the previous dispensation and the start of the gospel age. Our Lord's ministry commenced when he was 30 years of age. That was in 29 AD in the civil year, which would have been about September. John the Baptist was 6 months older than our Lord, so his ministry would have started 6 months earlier at the ecclesiastical year of April 29 AD. Let us now turn to Matthew 11:9-15. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there is not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will consider it, this is Elias who is to come. He that has an ear, let him hear. Now the DRB translation. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence bear it away. The violence is all towards the kingdom of heaven class, to the Lord's called out ones. There's no question of them entering the kingdom of violence. This is an interesting passage. Firstly, it says that those that are born of women, there is not risen a greater than John the Baptist. This shows the greatness of John, and that would apply to all of the ancient worthy class. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than these. We are running in the race for the prize of the high calling. This surely shows the greatness of that prize. The very least in this class are greater than John. What we have been offered, if we make our calling election sure, is beyond comparison. As we saw before, the mission given to the ancient worthies ends after the 1,000 years. What will they be doing after that? Brother Russell suggested that when their earthly work had ended, there was a possibility that a heavenly home would be given to them. This seems reasonable. Now let us look at some scriptural evidence supporting the thought that their final home will be a heavenly one. Firstly, Hebrews 11:8-10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, Jacob, the heirs of him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's what he was looking for. There could be objections raised to their heavenly hope, as it says that Abraham is to receive the earthly Canaan, Israel, for an inheritance. This would show the special position that he would hold for 1,000 years. Now to Psalms 45 and 16. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. This shows the earthly vocation of the ancient worthies. Again, it is only for 1,000 years. There will be no princes ruling after 1,000 years is over. As we saw before, dominion is then given to mankind. Now to Psalms 2:8. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. This again only lasts for 1,000 years, until our Saviour hands the kingdom back to the Father. This gives us a similar thought to that of Abraham inheriting the land for 1,000 years. Then verse 13-15. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen it afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had an opportunity to have returned. These verses suggest that they would be looking for a heavenly home. Some have thought that this refers to the fact that they were looking for the time when the millennial kingdom is operating. Where there is a possibility of two ways of understanding a verse or a passage, we would choose the meaning that is in harmony with God's divine plan as we know it. And this would be the correct way to do it. There must be harmony in the scriptures. However, if we have something slightly wrong in our understanding, we can then arrive at the wrong answer. In view of what we have seen, it seems that this selection of verses would mean that they're looking forward to their heavenly home in God's due time. Now let us look at Revelations 20:9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved their city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. When the scriptures speak of the saints, it normally refers to the spiritual class, but in this case, the only ones that could be termed saints that camped at the earthly Jerusalem at that time would be the ancient worthies. The spiritual saints are then residing in the place that the Lord Jesus has gone away to prepare for them in his Father's home above, in the heavenly Jerusalem. The point that we want to notice particularly is that these scriptures show the ancient worthies living in a camp situation. Those living in a camp are not living in their permanent home. A camp implies a temporary dwelling. This verse is speaking of a time right at the end of the 1,000-year kingdom age, and the ancient worthies are still not in their permanent home. They're still living in a temporary dwelling place. This would surely be very good evidence that the earth is not their permanent home, but only their temporary dwelling place. May God add his blessing. Amen.